So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen.
Amen.
As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, "You are blessed." Serve such an awesome God who wants us to be blessed. He wants to give us everything. Those that hunger and thirst for Him will receive. Are you washed in the blood?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Blood of the Lamb.
when we choose to follow God, he wants to bless us and bless us richly. So let us put our lives first to him and follow him. Sometimes our life doesn't seem like we understand exactly where it's going, but he does. He understands where you're heading. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for being in our lives. We do thank you for the blessings that you so bless us with. All you ask is that we put you first, and we can receive those blessings, Lord. We put you first and we follow you. Lord, we ask a special blessing over this service, over those that are here and those that could not be here, Lord. Allow your rich blessings to reach everyone, Lord. Allow those that do not know you to come here and get to know you. Lord, we ask a special blessing over this service, the pastor, and in all things we give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Before we continue this time of worship, I just want to highlight a couple brief announcements. If you'll notice with me on the back of your bulletin, Sunday, August the 27th, we are going to have a backpack blessing. And so if you have kids, if you have children that are in school, you can read about it. Have your kids bring your backpack to church, and during worship, we will pray over the backpacks and the kids before they head off to school. And that Sunday, we want to, you know, honor and pray over all of the teachers as well, the administrators. And friends, we want to uplift everyone who is involved in educating our kids. That's a vital and wonderful ministry that they have been given, And we need to stand with them and pray over them during that time. So mark that on your calendars. And in the same theme, we are also collecting school supplies for those who are in need. And so you can read about that there. And you can place the donations in the plastic bins in the fellowship hall. And Tina is back in the back of the sanctuary. If you have any questions, you can see Tina. And we have another opportunity here, friends, that we can stand with one of our congregants and her family, Rose Eiler's daughter, Nicole. She has been struggling with cystic fibrosis her entire life. And so next Saturday, August the 12th, there will be a benefit here. And it will be a spaghetti dinner. Anthony and Jen Latta, they are heading that up for them. And right at the top on the back of your bulletin, you can read about what's going on. She is at the Cleveland Clinic and in need of a double lung transplant. And so all proceeds from the benefit, spaghetti dinner, will go to that account for her. And so if you are feeling led to donate or to help prepare or serve the meal or even bring in food for the meal, please see Anthony and Jen Latta. And there are clipboards on the table in the fellowship hall if you simply want to sign up and say, I'm going to bring in this amount of, you know, spaghetti sauce or what have you. You can sign up and get that in here, and then Anthony and Jen will take it from there. At this time, Junior Worship Children's Church is dismissed. For those in kindergarten through fourth grade, we have a special ministry prepared especially for you. And let us turn our attention to the reading of God's Word.
The reading is on page 1501. It's Matthew 5, 1 through 9. Then when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." This has been the reading of God's word. The ushers may now come forward.
When I close my eyes, I can see your glory. When I raise my hands, I can touch your face. When I bow my knees, I stand before you, and Christ is all in me. Make my soul prepare on head trance for your glory. Let my heart become a throne for you to dwell. When I need your Holy Spirit more than I've ever seen.
Amen. You may be seated. We're continuing our series titled The Blessings of Following Jesus. And years ago, I don't know if you remember with me, that there was a song written by a band, and it was called I Can't Get No Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones, right? Well, you know what the unique thing is in the middle of these Beatitudes, Jesus, he makes this proclamation. And the proclamation is this, is that we will be blessed if we do something, and the result will we will be satisfied. Or other translations say you will be filled. The ironic thing in our life is that we think that satisfaction or fulfillment or contentment will only come to us when we chase after things of this world. And yet we have the Rolling Stones who proclaimed that in their song and said, I can't get no satisfaction, and I won't sing the rest for you. So this morning, we need to understand that true blessing only comes within the realm of the Creator who made you a certain way. Blaise Pascal, he uttered it this way, and he said, all people, every person, every man, every woman, child, is born with a God-shaped void in their heart. And right in the middle of the Beatitudes, we've dealt with the selfisms, we've dealt with the self-righteousness, we've dealt with the self-seeking, and we've dealt with, you know, all of these selfish attitudes that we have at the first three Beatitudes. And then in the middle, Jesus makes the proclamation. He says, you truly want to be satisfied, you will do something. And we'll get to that something here in a moment. And so to truly be blessed, friends, is to truly be content. It's to truly be at peace. It's truly be in a state of being that only happens in the realm or in the presence of the divine or the Creator God. And so if you're looking for satisfaction in a relationship, if you're looking for satisfaction in a situation of a job occupation, if you're looking for satisfaction through a material item, I have disappointing news for you all. Just as the scripture says, and we'll get to this in a few moments, you will be left wanting, you will be left yearning for more, you will be left with less than what you thought you had. The only place that we can receive satisfaction or fulfillment or filling or contentment or true blessing is to be in a fruitful relationship with the risen Christ, Jesus, the Lord Savior, our friend, our coming King. And the way that we do that is we go to Him, and we're going to talk about what it means to hunger and to thirst after righteousness. But Jesus said, the blessing of proclamation are not generalities. These are absolute statements, and I want you to understand that. And so the blessing, and if we could go on to the first slide here. The blessing consisted of the, meaning you are not self-righteous. You acknowledge your God. And then He has placed the Holy Spirit in your heart. He has put eternity in your hearts. That is true. Blessed are those who mourn. When you think that you don't have anything to, and you acknowledge you have nothing to offer God, you will be endure comforted as states. For the meek, blessed ones who submit unto God. Blessed are the ones who allow Jesus to be the power source in their life, who submit their decisions. Inherit the earth, you will receive your portion. And the emphasis there is not upon how much of a portion you get. The emphasis is upon the source of that portion, and that's why you are blessed, because you're focused on the source and not the blessing of whatever it is. The fourth beatitude, and we are going to talk about what it means to be blessed when we hunger and thirst for righteousness. And the result, friends, is you and I, we will be satisfied. And we can prove the Rolling Stones wrong. We can say, I have received satisfaction. Because that's the message of the world, to get no satisfaction. The message of the cross of Jesus Christ is satisfaction for your soul. Hear that. There's no other source where you will ever receive that type of satisfaction, that type of peace, that type of contentment, that type of lacking nothing. It's only by the Christ of the cross. So we see blessings. If we could go on here. To be, as David wrote, he says, "Fret not yourself, the wicked, be not in wrong." Light in the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. You see, sometimes in our world, we buy into the lie and we see people of what they have and the material items that they possess, and we hear of their bank accounts and this and that and the other, and we focus on the blessing or the material things and we miss the blesser. There's a guy that lives down the road from where my office was in Northeast Ohio, and he built this mansion. And friends, it's a mansion. It's a gate all the way around it, a brick wall, basically. He has a helicopter pad. The only reason I know it, I've never been there, because I saw the helicopter in and out. I mean, who needs that? And yet the world says, you aren't blessed until you achieve that level of success. You aren't blessed unless you have X, Y, and Z. You aren't blessed. And David ends this. He says, because it's temporary. It's only temporary of this world. And as they will grass and wither like the green earth, possessions will too. But the one thing that will never fade is what is in your heart. The one thing that will never, ever vanish is what you cultivate in your heart. It says this, take delight in the Lord. To delight, to submit, to be given everything that you are unto Christ. To delight in Him is to rejoice in Him. To look to God, Jesus Christ, the Savior, for Him to be your all in all. And to not look to this world to find any satisfaction. And when you do that, the promises, the desires of your heart. Now that doesn't mean that we can delight a red car or He'll give us a mansion. That does not what that means. What it means is when we delight in God, we are content with Him and Him alone, and the material possessions, they matter not at that point, because all we are is God's and everything we have is His too. And so when we delight, the desires of our heart become His desires, and His desires become our desires. And that, my friends, is truly what it means to be blessed, because then you are no longer confined to the realm of this world, but you are living in the realm of eternity, and you are operating on a different scale of things. You aren't chasing after the bank accounts. You aren't chasing after the material possessions. You aren't chasing after the relationships. You're not chasing after that. You're not trying to drown out anything in your heart. But what you are doing is delighting in God, and you are acknowledging Him, and the result will always be the continual satisfaction of your being. And that, my friends, is what it truly means to be blessed. See, the problem is when we seek to be blessed from the material things of this world or other elements of this world, missing the qualification. And Jesus said it this way. He said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst." And I'm here to tell you that as Americans, I don't think that we can ever comprehend that. What it truly means to hunger, what it truly means to thirst. We have no comprehension of what it means to truly be in want of the daily sustenance, of the daily necessity of good, clean water. We don't have any comprehension. And so when we get to this BS, we struggle as Americans. We struggle with it because we don't know what it is to hunger. We don't know what Jesus' message is right here. And I'm here to tell you that I went on U.S. News and World Report, and this is from 1991. And if you want more information, go to worldhunger.org, and you will find some information that will blow your mind. We make enough food, we produce enough crops to feed the whole world. And yet there are people that are starving to death today. That seemed comprehensible to me. And because we live in America where you can literally go to the grocery store and get any product that you want, we struggle with it. We struggle with it because we don't know what it is to want. We don't know what it is to be in need. We don't know what it is to be hungry. We have no comprehension of that. And in 1991, the U.S. News and World Report, they said the people who starve to death annually is 11 million. And yet the overweight U.S. adults at that time were 34 million. In 1980, the money Americans spent eating out was $52 billion. In 1990, that grew to $236 billion. And yet, during those two decades, the U.S. expenditures for overseas food aid was in 1980, $1.4 billion, and in 1990, $1.6 billion. You see what's going on here? It doesn't make much sense. The average calories in 1991 consumed daily by North Americans was 3,500. You ever look at a menu when you go out to eat and you look at the calories? That has changed my ordering pattern immensely. I'm here to tell you, you know, when I was 19, I could handle all that stuff. But, you know, at the age that I'm at now, forget that. You know, that translates to hours on the treadmill. I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. In 1991, the average calories consumed daily by Africans was 2,100. People who continually are hungry in Ethiopia, 20%, the Sudan, 20%, Mozambique, 30 to 40%. And in 1991, the average American adults on diets was 19%. You see, as worldhunger.org says, the world has enough food. That's mind-boggling. We are fortunate to be born in the right latitude and longitudinal lines where it crosses, and to be born in America where we don't struggle. But friends, that, as much of a blessing as it is also a curse. It's a curse because we can't comprehend what the rest of this world is struggling with. We can't comprehend the spiritual truth that Jesus is talking about right here. To hunger and to thirst for righteousness. In the book, Christ Called to Discipleship, J.M. Boyce, he tells the following true account. And it was based upon the liberation of Palestine by Major Gilbert. Major Gilbert tells the account of driving up from Beersheba, a combined force of British, Australians, and New Zealanders were pressing on the rear of the Turkish retreat over the desert. The attack outdistanced its water-carrying camel train. So notice this, they're going across the desert and they get separated from their water source. Water bottles, they became empty. The sun blazed piteously out of a sky where the vultures wheeled expectantly. Our heads ached, writes Gilbert. Our eyes became bloodshot and dim in the blinding glare. Our tongues began to swell. Our lips turned a purplish black and they burst. Those who dropped out of the column were never seen again, but the desperate force battled on to Sharia. There were wells at Sharia, and had they been unable to take the place by nightfall, thousands were doomed to die of thirst. We fought that day, writes Gilbert, as men fight for their own lives. We entered Sharia station on the heels of the retreating Turks. The first objects which met our view were the great stone cisterns full of cold, clear drinking water. In the still night air, the sound of water running into the tanks could be distinctly heard, maddening in its nearness. Yet not a man murmured when orders were given for the battalions to fall in, too deep, facing the cisterns. He then describes the stern priorities, the wounded, those on guard duty, then company by company. It took 4 hours before the last man had his drink of water, says Gilbert. And in all that time, they had been standing 20 feet from a low stone wall on the other side of which were thousands of gallons of water. Gilbert then goes on to write this. He says, we learned our first Bible lesson that day. The first Bible lesson. The first Bible lesson should be this, to desire the loving Lord Jesus Christ over and above anything and beyond everything in this world. In the scripture, told that God says, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor which does not satisfy? You see, God tells us this world won't satisfy. He tells us, and sometimes I think that we, in our spiritual state, our tongues are fat and our lips are black and they're splitting, our eyes are bloodshot, because we're seeking the satisfaction from a different source other than what will ever provide the true satisfaction of our souls. He says this, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me." Now, you can't do the second without the first. You can't pursue the things of the world and pursue God at the same time. You can't do it. Either you're running headlong in one direction or the other. They go in exact opposite directions. And that's what God says. Jesus hungers for righteousness. And when you do that, you will be satisfied. "And they have forsaken me," is what Jesus says. "The fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." You see, it might last a little while, but it will be like a broken cistern that it will not last. It will not hold water. When we face the things of this world and look to them to be truly satisfied, we are forsaking God. And as Jesus at the woman at the well, he said, "You know what? The water I have, those who drink, and yet we carve out cisterns time and time and time and time again. We chase after the almighty dollar. We chase after the status. We chase after the positions. We chase after the relationships. And I could go on, friends. The fact of the matter is that spiritually our tongues are fat and our lips are black and they're busted. And our eyes are... And righteousness, and I'll qualify what that means, it comes from a compound word, and it means to live wisely ethical. You know, we live in a day, now ethics are applying your principles to life, meaning don't tell lies, don't steal, you know, don't, you know, covet things, and basically the Ten Commandments or whatever morals you operate your life by. And to be ethical is to apply that to all people. And when we apply it to all people, it becomes a situation like this, where when I sold a Dodge Durango before I moved out here, I put it on cars.com, and the gentleman that bought it, he came out and he's, you know, talking to me about it, and I started going down the list. Hey, man, this is what's wrong with it, 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 this is what's wrong with it. At one point, and I think my dad was out there, and the gentleman stopped me and says, "Are you trying to talk me out of buying this thing?" I said, "No, but I got to sleep at night." That's being ethical. It's wanting the best for other people. It's the golden rule. Do unto others as you want others to do unto you. To be truly ethical is to be truly brutally honest. It's to be truly fair. It's to look out for their interest. And that is what righteousness is. Because God looked out for our righteousness when he sent his own son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to lay down his life, and he looked out for your best interest and mine. And sometimes we hunger for things of the world. And we're never satisfied. We want more and more and more. There are umpteen other scriptures that say the gullet is never satisfied and the eye is never full. Meaning you can look at things and look at all kinds of things and it will never be enough. You can eat and eat and eat and eat and it will never be enough. You can buy and buy and buy and buy. It will never be enough. The only time it will enough is when you hunger and thirst, when your desire is to obey and your desire is to honor, to worship, to glorify the risen God, the Jesus, the Christ in your life. And you hunger after him so much that you don't care what it takes, what it costs. You don't care what you have to give up. You don't care who you have to lose. It's about desiring to live as he has called you to live. And only then, friends, will you be satisfied, because only then will you experience the peace that God has given to you and to me from the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. You see, in America, we want it all. We want to have one foot in this world and one foot in a relationship with God. And Jesus said, Either you take up your cross and deny yourself and then follow, or you love the world and you're opposing God. To hunger and thirst after righteousness is to have this reckless abandon in your life that says, I don't care what it costs. I don't care what I got to give up. I don't care what I got to lose. I have one driving passion in my soul, and that's to hunger and thirst after Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who eats of bread will never hunger again. And that's our problem. We're looking at this created world to satisfy a spiritual hunger that it will never satisfy. Houses, cars, things, stuff, people. That's horrible. It's horrible. But that's America. The result is this. They shall be satisfied. Wonderful psalm, and many of you know it. Some of you know it by heart. First, move on. This is Psalm 3, Psalm for the Living. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall be satisfied. I shall be content. I shall be at peace. I shall be in harmony with Jesus who created me. And when we're not in harmony, friends, something's going on in our soul. And when we're not at peace, friends, something's happening in our soul. I was just at a business not too long ago, and my internal peace, it was gone. I was signing some documents. I put down that pen, and I got up, and I stepped back. They said, what are you doing? I said, something ain't right. You see, when you are seeking to desire and hunger and thirst after righteousness, after God's wise ethical life of doing what He has asked us to do, you will be blessed and you will be satisfied. We say it from time to time. But if we're in want, that all the Lord is not our shepherd. You see, the shepherd can be the shepherd, but the sheep don't have to allow the shepherd to be their shepherd. Did you follow that? I'm not even going to try to say it again. But that's what happens when we are wanting things. And it's okay to have nice things. Don't get me wrong. It's okay to have material things. But where do they take up residence in your heart and in your soul? Have they become your God? Or are they merely things? The second thought of Peter says this, as do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy. You know what something that is holy is? It's something that has been set apart for the use by God. Now, friends, you all are holy. You have been set apart for God's use. And sometimes we don't realize that other things in Jesus said this in Matthew 5, verse 48. Be holy, ye therefore, as your holy Father is holy. And Peter goes, I called you as holy. Be holy yourselves. All your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If you truly want to be blessed and satisfied, and if you truly want to prove the Rolling Stones wrong, hunger and thirst after God's righteousness. And that looks like in everything you do, do it in a wise manner that brings glory to God. For when you do, you will be blessed. This morning we're going to meet around the Lord's table in Holy Communion. And I hope and I pray that as you guys come down the center aisle, it will be a public profession of an internal proclamation of you saying, I am hungering and thirsting after God's righteousness. It's deeper than a bread and the juice. It's deeper than that, friends. The significance is that when you ingest it and you take it in your physical body, you are saying, Lord, this is what I am truly hungering after. I am in desperate need of your grace, your forgiveness, your mercy, and your love. And it's every day, friends. And when you walk down this aisle, may you, in your heart, soul, and mind, place on the altar before God all those things that have crept in, and may you get right with the Lord God, the risen Christ. And so this morning, we have an open communion. We don't require that you are a member of Trinity United Methodist Church. If you're here and visiting, we ask that you would come. To come, partake. You will take a piece of bread, and Thaden's going to join me up here, and then you will come down the center aisle, and you will depart on either side and go back to your pew. So take a piece of bread, and then you'll dip it in the juice, and right up here, you'll partake in the elements. So let us partake together. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he blessed it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." Good, sir. As Jesus then took up and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the sins of many, your sins and my sin. Take, drink, do this in remembrance of me." Won't you come? Church, to take up a benevolent offering after communion. Isn't God good? Amen? I mean, God's mercy and his love for you is unbelievable. And so, as the ushers are coming forward, let us just take a time and pray here. Gracious God, we thank you, Jesus, for this time of communion. We thank you for the bread and we thank you for the cup. We thank you for the opportunity to meet around your table. And Lord, we also thank you for the opportunity to give back sacrificially, to go to those who are in need within our congregation first and within the community, to help with those who are hungry and those who are struggling financially. So as we take up this benevolent offering, may you just take these funds. May you use them. May you find us to be faithful and be a good steward in distributing them, all for your glory. We bless you, O God, and we praise you. In the holy name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
This is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm with. This is my desire to honor you. Down with all my heart, I worship you. Jesus.
Friends, as we close here this morning, may you and I, may we all hunger and thirst after God's righteousness. And may that be reflective in what we do and what we say and how we interact with people. Because friends, that's what righteousness is. It's to live and do to others as you want them to do to us. And then, friends, may you experience the total satisfaction of what Jesus has for you in your heart, mind, and soul. And as we go this morning, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed by His satisfaction, and may He anoint you with His peace. Go in peace. Amen.